Well, good evening. If you would, this evening, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me." The Lord's speaking here and telling us that if any man will come after him, if any man will be like him, if you will, let him first deny himself. Deny self. You know, the world just doesn't understand that concept of self-denial, if you will, to this standpoint of the world tells us that we need to look out for number one. You know, I need to do this for me. I need to be more selfish about this. I need some time for me, 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 me. But the Lord would tell us, if any man will be like him, if any man will come after him, first and foremost, deny self. So as I was kind of thinking about this self-denial, you know, well, first off, I just wanted to see what, you know, what the definition of self-denial is. And one of the definitions that I found was from Webster, is a restraint or limitation of one's own desires or interests. So, a restraint or limitation. So if the Lord is telling us to deny self, sounds kind of like a sacrifice, doesn't it? Something has to be given up.
Right.
And, well, makes sense that if we're going to give up something to gain something else. So if he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So I'm going to have to restrain or limit some of my desires or some of my interests. And especially if some of my interests and some of my desires don't coincide with the will of God. Especially if they do not coincide with the will of God. Because that's the one thing we need to be trying to do the best in our ability is following the will of God. So self-denial. Let's dive into that just a little bit here. I want to just take this with one verse, and let's just try to, if the Lord will be our helper tonight, just try to see about this. Our best example that we have in the Word of God of self-denial or denying oneself and not looking out for our own interests would be Jesus himself. If we go to John chapter 6 real quick, go the right way here. John chapter 6, just want to read a few verses. John 6, 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." See, the Lord didn't make any reputation for himself while he was here. That was one thing. You didn't see him proclaiming his fame abroad. You didn't see him trying to promote himself. You didn't see him trying to push an agenda. He was doing the Father's will. And another one is John chapter 8. John 8. Let's see. Yeah, John 8, 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that has sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him." Well, I tell you, for a father, for his children, to always do those things that please him. Man, that would be great, wouldn't it? But Jesus did always Always. There was no fault found in him at all. And talk about some giving of themselves. He gave his all. He taught. And he didn't teach as like a dictator, didn't beat people into submission. No, he just spoke simple truth. Even spoke in parables to make something easier for us to understand. And if they didn't understand the parable, there were times that he would explain the parable. You know, for people like me, I didn't quite get the lesson. I'm sorry, I didn't get it the first time. Can you simplify it more? He spoke plainly. Used examples for people to understand. But his, in always doing the Father's will, he did always that did please him. And like I said, again, not trying to push his own agenda, not trying to do his own thing. He came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And in John chapter 4, just another one real quick, John 4, 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. His meat. You know, that was important for him to do. It was important for him. That was what he came to do, was the Father's will. Oh, that we would just remember what the Lord had taught us in his word, that we should do as we're told, as we're exhorted to do in his word. Keep his commandments, love one another, try to be the best person that we can be, and be the best Christian that we can be. Well, Christian, the term Christian is supposed to be Christ-like. So if we're supposed to be like Christ, the Lord told us in Luke chapter 9, if any man will come after me, what do I need to do first? Deny self. Self-denial. So we have those examples of Christ, even the Lord himself being subjection unto the Father's will. And if he's going to do that, how much more should we listen to that? How much more should we act upon that? Denying self. There may be some things that get in the way of reading the Bible. There may be some things that try to hinder us and get in our way of trying to go to church or whatever. If there's something that gets in between you and the Lord, we need to try to move it aside. Get it out of the way. Deny self. That's that part of that self-denial. Sometimes we just have to give up something. How much did the Lord give up for us? And how much have I given up for him? You know, we're so blessed. We're so spoiled in this nation. We get in our comfortable vehicles that has AC if it's hot and warm, and heat if it's cold, and we drive to a church house and we know that, you know, as long as nothing's wrong, we'll have air, we'll have heat, we have padded pews. I mean, there's just so many things that we're just so spoiled, but yet, well, sometimes things get in the way. Things still hinder us. Not a lot of self-denial going on. And if we would take that lesson to heart, deny self, basically like crucifying the flesh, I believe that's Paul would say, we need to get that in our heads. Deny self. Because it's the first thing he said. If we're going to be like him, if we're going to follow after him. And there's some things that some people may not be willing to give up. There's some things. How much are we willing to give up? In Philippians, let's see, Philippians 3, verse 7, Paul's writing and says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. All these things that you can think of. And Paul was, you know, he was going through that, talking about, you know, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. You know, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, if you're talking about a pedigree, Paul had it. But he said, I count all of it for loss, that I may win Christ. How much are you willing to give up? Now, I don't believe that the Lord expects us to live in poverty and destitute for the rest of our life. But if our mind and our heart are set upon Him, denying myself, I'm not going to seek after these things until I serve the Lord first. And I guarantee you, and it's a promise in God's Word, if we seek Him first, all these things shall be added unto us. Well, He knows the things we need. He made us, did He not? He's the one that made us. He's the one that created us. So if there's anybody that knows our needs, it would be Him. Obviously, He knows what we need. Obviously, He knows the things that we need. And if we stand in need of. I mean, if we have a problem in our life, don't you know the Lord knows the solution to it? Don't you know that He can cure all the problems we have in our life? He understands our problems better than we do. So why would we not want to follow after Him? Why would we not want to put Him first? Putting in priorities, if you will. You know, we have to prioritize every single day. That's something that everybody has to do. We have to set in priorities in our life. We have to see, what am I going to do the first thing in the morning? You know, what do I have to do tomorrow? I have this and that and this, and I have to kind of move it around so I'm not just running around like a chicken with my head cut off all day. You have to prioritize. Well, brethren, if we take time and just focus on Him in the morning, start early in the morning. It's like a tuning an instrument. You don't tune the instrument after you played in concert. You do it before. You want to be ready, prepared, and ready to face the day. And what better way to face the day than to have spend some time with the Lord?
Amen. Amen.
Deny self. Some people say, well, man, early in the morning, that's just not a good time for me. You know, I'm not a morning person. I just don't wake up really good. Well, again, we're talking about deny self. May have to be some sacrifices made. Some effort being put in to our service. You know, that term, wait upon the Lord. That's not just sitting at a bus stop waiting for the bus to come around. Wait upon the Lord. That's like the waiter at the restaurant. You don't want your waiter just sitting over there playing on the phone the whole time, not attending to your needs. You want them to be actively serving. And that's how we need to be. We need to get up. We need to stir it up within ourselves and actively serve. And the best way to actively serve the Lord is first cut out self. Cut out the selfishness that we have. And we're so prone to do it. That's just in our human nature to be prone to be selfish. I wish that wasn't the case. I really do. But that's just what it is. Now, I know a lot of people can think of them, of the people that are just not a selfish bone in their body. You know, just wanting to give. And I tell you what, if they are giving, and it's just love just flowing from them, it's coming back tenfold. You know, sometimes it's the people that are suffering the most who try to love the most. Because the Lord is blessing them. Their life may be a complete train wreck. You know, it could be a shipwreck. Their storms are raging. But the inside, they're having peace. Because they're putting the Lord first. So, we're talking about denying self. And Paul was talking about all the stuff that he has gained in his life. The stuff that he has. But he says he just counts it all loss so he can win Christ. Because all that stuff is not going to get him any closer to the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter, you know, what your degree is in. It doesn't matter that your pedigree. It doesn't matter. What matters is how much effort we're putting in to serving Him. How much are we denying ourselves and wanting to serve Him? And the best way we can serve Him is to love one another, right? You know, I'm talking about, you know, the all the law, All the Ten Commandments being summed down, the Lord was summed them down into two commandments. Love God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and all thy soul, and love one another. If we're doing those two, don't you know that's, if we're loving God, putting Him first, that sounds like, well, I'm putting Him first. That's denying self, right? Getting myself out of the picture, because it's not about me. Quit being so selfish, right? It's not about me, it's about Him. And the better I am at trying to focus on Him, the better I can love my neighbor. The better I can love my family. The better I can love my church family. The better I can be, the better person I can be. And it's all about how we do, how we start off by denying self. When I started, I was talking about the world will tell you, you know, you need to look out for number one. That's how the world looks at this. And I see so often, especially in the political climate now, no matter what side of the aisle it's on, humility. I don't see much humbleness anymore. And I tell you, if you're going to be humble and humble yourself, you have to deny self. You have to take the old man out. You have to take and push this old sin nature aside if you're going to try to humble yourself before the Lord. James would say, humble ourselves before, what is that, James? That's James 4. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So you mean He's going to help me? Of course He's going to help you, but not going to help you if you're still, you know, plunging along with my selfish self. If I get the gimmies or whatever, no, but humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You know, that's so true, in the sight of the Lord. What is out of His sight? Nothing. Not a thing. We can humble ourselves before people and, you know, try to be like the Pharisees and just try to put on a good show. But the Lord sees all. He sees behind the scenes. He knows. Knows the very intent of my heart. Aren't you thankful that we can't see the very intent of the heart? We wouldn't be able to live. You know, if you could just see everybody's emotions, just see everything wide open like a book, I tell you, we would never get along with one another. It would never work. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless perfection like God is. You know, He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Amen. I'm so thankful that they're not. Because I need to deny myself. I need to take myself out of so many situations in this life. If I'm going to live my life and serve the Lord, I need to deny myself. All comes back to denying self. And then again in 1 Peter 5. Let's get that one real quick. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that ye are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Sometimes in this life, I feel like I just need more peace, need more stability, need more settling, if you will. And the more that I humble myself before God, the more I deny self and try to follow Him as best as I possibly can, that's a promise that He'll be with us, strengthen us. I don't have any strength of my own. I mean, I have physical strength, but as far as like going up against the adversary, the devil, if I try to go it alone, I'm going to fail. I'm going to lose. I need to stand strong in the power of His might. And the more I deny self and get me out of the picture and focus on Him, the more strength I'll receive from Him. So we have that self-denial, you know, the resist or limitation of one's own desires or interests. And like I said, the world just looks upon that and says, no, you got to take care of number one. Brethren, number one is God. Amen. Make time for Him. Sacrifice some time for Him. How much did God sacrifice for me? You know, sometimes we have to just take things and make it personal, because He is a personal Savior. He knows us individually. What have I done for Him? How much have I given up for Him? Back in Luke 9, remember, He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And what's the next verse? And take up his cross daily and follow me. So we've already been talking about trying to serve Him the best we possibly can. And first thing we have to do is, well, first we have to deny ourselves. Get me out of the pictures. Quit being so selfish. Love one another. You know, trying to do all this that He's taught us in His Word. But then He says to take up His cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Well, simply put, taking up your cross and following after Him. What is that cross? What did He do on that cross? What did He accomplish on that cross? He accomplished my salvation upon that cross. But He had to bear that cross. And He had to go there. And that's where He died. He gave up the ghost. So if we're going to be taking up our cross, we have to take it up and say, Lord, I'll follow You unto death. If that's what it takes. No matter what. And that's to follow after Him. Whatever it takes. Some people read that and be like, wow, that's pretty extreme. I don't think the death on the cross was anything light. No. I don't think what the Lord did and all that He suffered there, I don't think you were anything well that was light. Now, one of the things that is taking up our cross and following after Him, that's when it really talks about when the rubber meeting the road. And it's like, I think back to when the disciples, all of them were talking about that they would never forsake Him, never. And even Peter said, Lord, even though, you know, I follow You to the death. But all of them forsook Him. All of them ran away. Now, I'm not trying to be critical of them. I know all of us would have done the same thing. Because Jesus even said Himself that all of them would do it. All of them would. You know, and I believe Peter was sincere. I really do. Right. I really and honestly believe that Peter was very sincere of saying he would follow him to the death. He even drew a sword and tried to slay somebody. You know, they're talking about taking off the Malchus's ear. You know, I love what Daddy's always trying to say is he got his ear because he missed his neck. I believe that he was going to try to do anything that he thought of to defend his Lord. But it just wasn't the right thing, was it? It wasn't the right thing to do. That's the thing. When we're thinking of ourselves and seeing what we can do, a lot of times we'll make hasty decisions. Sometimes we'll not stop to think about it. And a lot of times we're trying to lean on our own understanding, if you will. But the Word of God tells me not to lean on my own understanding. I need some understanding. I need His guidance. I need Him to show me the way. To read His Word and follow after Him. And the best way to follow after Him is He's told us already. Deny self. Get me out of the picture. Quit thinking of myself so much. Take up my cross. Saying, Lord, no matter what. No matter what, I follow you. Now, it's easy to say, Lord, I'll follow you to the death. That's easy to say. But it's another thing to be practiced. Again, like I said earlier, we're so blessed in this country. We're so spoiled. There's actually plenty of places in this year, past year, this ever since the world has started, people have been martyred. People have gone to the death. People have been put to death because of trying to follow this word. And we have not seen that kind of persecution in this country. We just haven't seen it. We haven't experienced it. But it could be. It could be. So we have to stand ready. One of the best ways to be ready is to follow Him. Learn of His teachings, knowing the hope that is within us, knowing that even if they snuff out our life, we'll awaken His presence, knowing that's the reward. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we have to think about it. Yes, death, it can be scary. But we don't have to taste of death. Because it's immediate. As soon as our eyes close, we'll open and see Him. Be with Him. You know, it's one of those things to think about. I don't like to think about it too much myself. Because I like to say, well, no matter what comes down the pipeline, I'll stand firm and I'll be right there with Him. But you have to be honest with yourself. I don't know. I don't know. I've never been tested that strong before. I do know that I have been tested in my life and I failed utterly. And nobody even had a gun in my head. That song we sang, Ashamed of Jesus. If I never want to speak His name again, let that be my shame. You know, I read this passage about if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I think about times in my life, early in my life when I was in school or whatever, and somebody would be talking about the Bible or whatever, and I'd want to shy away. I didn't want to be lumped up with them, or I didn't want to speak up because, you know, or somebody would say we'd been in a function or whatever, and they want somebody to bless the food or whatever. I wouldn't raise my hand because I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to be singled out. If I can't even stand up for the Lord when my life is not on the line, How can I be ready if that test were to come? How can I be ready if that were to ever be my lot? Again, it's easy to say, I'll do it. I've got courage. I'm strong. But it's another to be faced with it. It's something that we need to be thinking about. And I'm not trying to say you need to be thinking about somebody's going to kill you every day. No, don't get me. Don't say that point. I'm saying being faithful to God, trying to follow Him the best that we can. Because if we're not going to be faithful in the little things, in the things that don't even really matter much, how are we going to be faithful to Him when the trials get strong? When the strong trials come, how are we going to weather the storms? I like to think about the three Hebrew children. You know, talk about something, your test. In Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, the decree was made that when the music sound, you know, old King Nebuchadnezzar had this golden image set up, and that when he would all play all sorts of kind of music and everything, that everybody would bow down and worship this golden image. Well, everybody did bow down to this golden image, except for these three. And, you know, the king even gave them a second chance, you know, and said, well, maybe they didn't understand, you know, maybe they didn't hear right, you know, and he said, well, you know, let's give them another chance. Oh, they heard right, and they knew. Because in Daniel 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I pray that I could have that faith. I pray that if the test should come, I could stand like they did. Because I read in the Word, I know the Lord is able. I know He's able to deliver us out of the fire, from the fire. It doesn't matter to Him. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they told this king. Now, this is the king. This is back when kings actually had power. Because if they disobeyed, they were going to be killed. Well, at least the king thought he was going to put them to death. But we know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to go in the fire. They had to go in. But the fire had no hurt on them. Had no effect on them. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. Have you ever tried to burn them, you know, out there burning some sticks or whatever? You go back inside and all you can smell is smoke for hours. Cast into a burning fiery furnace, and not even the smell of smoke on their clothes. No hair on their head was singed, nothing. Brethren, that's power. And He's the same God today as He was back then. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told this king, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand. They said, but if not, they basically told him, he'll deliver us from that fiery furnace. One way or the other, we're not going to serve you. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to be taking up our cross, we need to have that thought in our mind. No matter what comes, no matter what may be my lot, I will serve Him. faithfully and stand strong. And I'm so thankful we have these accounts that we can read about. And even Daniel himself being put to the test, if you will. I'm not saying that the Lord, you know, puts them in this situation. I'm just saying that bad things happen to good people, right? And even Daniel had to deal with some of this. In Daniel chapter 6, you know, we know that the presidents there, they were jealous of Daniel. Didn't like how Daniel got all, it just seemed like Daniel. They just didn't like him anymore. You know, it just seemed like Daniel was just being blessed and blessed and blessed. That's what happens when we're getting too selfish. We're not denying self like we should. Not loving our neighbor as we should. Things start creeping in like jealousy and envy. But Daniel, they came to the king and they tricked the king into signing and making that decree that nobody should serve any other gods except for the Medes and Persians. Now, in the interest of time, not to read a whole lot, but just go down to Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Did you get that? He knew the writing was signed. He knew that if he did what he's about to do, it was almost certain death. But now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Don't pass over that too much. As he did aforetime. Daniel had already been doing this. This was Daniel's routine. This is something that we read in, I think it's Daniel chapter 2. He purposed in his heart. You know, this is something I'm going to do. Even under old Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, he said he purposed in his heart. He was not going to defile himself. He was going to serve and follow God. So him knowing that the decree was signed, knowing full well that if somebody were to turn him in or get caught, it was almost certain death, be cast into the den of lions. And it was a den of lions, not the lion's den. There is a difference. A lion's den, the lion could be gone. No, it was a den of lions. But we see that Daniel had purposed in his heart. And though this is years and years and years after where he had purposed in his heart, we see that he remained faithful. He was doing this all the time. And it said that he knelt upon his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now again, Daniel had to go into the den of lions. But because of his faithful service, the Lord sent the angel and shut the mouth of the lions. And it wasn't because the lions weren't hungry. Because we know that when, you know, they took Daniel out, they cast those that put him in there, they cast them in there, and the lions had mastery over them and break their bones. God has power. Doesn't matter what the trial is, Lord has all power. He could either deliver us from it or deliver us through it. But we need to remember, we need to deny ourselves. All this stuff that's getting in the way, push it aside. Get it out of the way. Deny self and take up my cross and follow Him. Following God. That's all that should matter. Follow Him. In John 16, John 16:33, the Lord tells us, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, Aren't you glad that he didn't stop there? In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's bigger than any of our problems could ever be. He knows our needs better than we do ourselves. He knows. And he's such a readily available help. He's always he's omnipresent, right? He's always around. There's no point in my life where I cannot call upon the Lord and he doesn't hear me. He always hears. He always hears. Now, can I stray? Yes. Can I allow things to get in between me and the Lord? Yes. But if I ever get to that point where I feel convicted and call out, he's right there. Just remember, like when Peter, when the Lord came and walking on the water, they were in that ship and there was a storm, and the Lord came walking on the water. The very thing that they were fearful of, the Lord was sitting there just walking on it. And Peter told him, Lord, if it be thee, bid me come. The Lord said, come. And Peter was actually walking on the water for a little bit. Then Peter started to take his eyes off the Lord and started looking at the wind and the waves. That's how our life is. When we have our eyes on the Lord, everything's good. Everything may still be a storm raging like it was then. The storm was still raging, was it not? The storm was still raging. Yeah. But with Jesus, there's peace. There's calm. You can walk on it. He can help you through it. Where do our problems come in at? When we take our eyes off of him. Yeah. Take our eyes off of the Lord. We're not denying self anymore, being selfish. We're starting to fear. We're starting to doubt. All these things can start coming in. And like the parable of the sower, the cares of the world, they can choke. They can choke our very life to the point where we're fearful. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Remember?
Right.
But of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Oh, I want some more peace in my life. I want to be more settled in my life. Then he's told us how to do it. Some people say, oh, I wish I had a manual for life. Hey, it's right here. This is how we live our life. This is how we make the best of this life. By following him. And the steps that he's given us to make the best of this life is to deny self. Get me out of the picture. It's not about me. I am not the center of my universe, right? I'm not the center of anything universe. It's all about him. The storm may be raging in our life, but the more we focus on him, the more settled we are, the more peace we'll have. Talking about that inner peace. everything may be collapsing around you, but you can have that peace within him. But it's all about denying self, taking up my cross, and following him. You cannot follow him if you will not first deny yourself. You can't follow him fully if you're not willing to take up that cross. We need to be putting our nose back in the book, reading his word, trying to pull all the cares away, just push everything aside, because it doesn't really matter. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. Paul gave us that. Just the sufferings of this world. Now, some people have to suffer greatly. But to say that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. Boy, that's something else. That must be some glory that I can't even fathom right now. And yes, that's right. We can't fathom it. But that's what we're looking forward to. So yes, we may have to suffer a little while. But Christ had to suffer. You know, some people say, well, yeah, I know he suffered on the cross, but think about it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. How would you like to be sitting around amongst the people and talking to them, and the whole time you know that there's some out there that's plotting to kill you? That you know that they hate you. That they just want to snuff you out. He did. He did. Because he knows the very intent of our heart. So yeah, you're talking about the natural man suffering. He had to endure these things. Now think about all that Christ had suffered. Our, you know, present times, it's pretty light, right? But he suffered. So he knows what it's like to suffer. So don't think, oh, woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble that I'm in. Oh, he knows. He's well aware. And he's well able to help. But first, what do we have to do? Deny self. Take up our cross. And follow after him.
Amen.
The more we get me out of the picture, the more I can be filled with Christ. Mm. You know, that's the thing about it. If I want to be filled with Christ, I need to empty something out. Just like this bottle. If you want to put something else in here, you're going to have to empty this water out. Same thing with my heart. If my heart is too full of me, if I'm too full of myself, I cannot be filled with Christ. So let me work on denying self so I can take up my cross so I can follow after him. And my prayer is that even if it comes to the worst that we can think of, that we'll stand strong because we have a true help. He that is within you is stronger than he that is in the world. I know that's not an exact quote, sorry, but sentiment's the same. Our God is readily available. He's ready help. He's, like I said, he even knows the problem better than we do ourselves. So let's work on getting rid of me, getting me out of the picture, quit being so selfish, so I can be filled with Christ. And I'll take up my cross, and I'll follow after him, so I can serve him throughout the remainder of my days. May the Lord bless you.